Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, it is going to be a wonderful day. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do have great things to look forward to. But you know, it just seems like the very best thing would be to see Jesus. Yes. And, oh my, you know, hear him say, well done, and then being able to enter into his presence, his eternal presence there where we shall ever be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just was a little touched on Sunday because I did some phone checking on the phone on Sunday, and after church that was, and discovered that a very dear woman that had been writing to our ministry, it must have been at least every month, I'd get these lovely cards from her, and it was so hard to read her writing. You know, I think she had probably severe arthritis, and I think she was having trouble with her eyes, and yet, you know, we'd get these messages from her. And then, maybe a month or so ago, she called the telephone here, there at the office, and anyway, never had heard her voice before that I recall. And anyway, she had some scripture to give us, and that was pretty amazing. It was Jeremiah 25, and she said, it's really serious, and the time is at hand, and all this and that. And then, you know, she just said, you know, that she loved us and that our ministry meant so much to her, and you know, just a very dear message there on the telephone. And then a couple days later, she called again and left a couple more portions of scripture. And you know, I just wondered at that, you know, because, you know, it was just like, wow, kind of out of the blue. And then just to hear on Sunday that her daughter called and said that she had died the night before. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think of her as we were singing that song, because she'd always express her love for the Lord and, you know, seeing his face and all those glorious things that we look forward to. And, I just am so thankful for that hope that's deep within, you know. And somebody, you know, like this woman, I never got to meet her. I don't even know for sure how old she was, but you know, you could just feel her love for the Lord. And that was so dear, you know, just writing to us, even though, you know, the ability wasn't so easy at that point. And I also know she was sending us amazing funds of money too there before it all ended on her, with her life. And I do marvel, but how beautiful it is, you know, somebody that lives in victory in this world, and then finally that great day when, you know, we get to go home. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful when there's a race that's well run. Praise our God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. And so thankful for this opportunity. So thankful for everybody online. And of course, you know, Brother Tim being here, and Brother Samuel, and you know, praise the Lord, the presence of the Lord here in this place. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for what you have done. We thank you for your blessings, so many that we cannot even begin to recall them all, Lord. And I know we could never give you enough thank yous. We never appreciate it enough, Lord. But we thank you that we can gather here together, Lord, be it online or be it in person, here in this building, oh Lord. And we thank you most of all that you are in our midst. Oh yes, that you come, Lord, oh God, to be with us, to lead us, to guide us, to move us, Lord, that we can even sense and feel thy presence, Lord. Oh, Lord, it's so beautiful when you come down and join us and meet with us, oh, God. And, Lord, you come to meet every need. Oh, God, you come, oh, Lord, oh, God, to answer every cry of the heart. Oh, God, you know the burdens, you know the needs, even before we ask. And we are so privileged to be able to come before thee, Lord. Oh, God, oh, yes, such as we are, Lord. And, oh, so thankful that you even regard us, that you look upon us. Oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, you've intervened in our lives, which is so amazing, Lord. Now I pray that you'd move here tonight. I pray that your presence would be felt. Oh, Lord, I pray that your words would come forth, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd use me for your name's sake. Oh, Lord, for the sake of your people, Lord. Oh, God, for we need you, Lord. Oh, God, we don't know the days of our sojourning, but, oh, God, we know that you have promised to be with us, Lord. And, oh, Lord, you have promised to give us the strength that we need, the faith that we need, oh, God, the guidance that we need, oh, Lord, to make it through this world. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Let the devil be rebuked. Let him have no place here. Oh, God, work in every heart, oh, Lord. Meet every need, Lord Jesus. Give us faith, Lord, here tonight, Lord, for you know, oh, God, every need of your children. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd move the mountains that need to go in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. And, oh, God, that you would draw us unto thyself, Lord. Oh, God, for we need those touches from you, Lord. We need those times in your presence. Oh, God, oh, Lord, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And I pray that you would work in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Have your way, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we do serve an amazing, amazing God. Amen. And we see all these strange things happening on the earth, and you know, our Heavenly Father knows all about it. Yeah, he's, you know, he knows what is necessary to yet happen upon the face of this earth, and oh my, it's going to happen just as he has ordained, oh, and declared in his precious word. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to a few scriptures here in the New Testament, just to start, and I'm going to call this message, Great and Sore Troubles. Great and Sore Troubles, and I think you understand why as we get into the word here tonight. But let's turn to 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, here to begin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to read a few verses here in this third chapter. Let's begin with verse 1, praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he's asking and telling here, or stating, shall I say. It tells us here, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and send Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Okay, so this church had been established, and, you know, Paul had sent Timothy there to solidify and further establish their faith, to comfort them, praise the Lord. And you know, it's certain that this church had already known what it's like to meet with trouble, to meet with persecution and tribulation. In fact, if we go to 2 Thessalonians here, the very first chapter, we can solidify that point. Praise the Lord. Let's just look at a few verses here in 2 Thessalonians and the first chapter. It tells us here, Paul and Silvanus, and that's another, that's actually Silas. And then it says, and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Oh, what beautiful words there that, Paul was commending them with. It's so beautiful to see people come to the Lord, but oh my, even more so to see them grow in the Lord. And here he could say that their faith was growing exceedingly. Oh yes, abundantly, I would say, and praise the Lord for it. And praise the Lord, what also was known of them was their love, their charity one towards another. And that's another beautiful attribute, isn't it? And so it goes on to tell us in verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So yes, they have been going through the fire. Young church as it was, oh yes, so they obviously knew what it was like to have their faith tried. Oh yes, to have tribulations. Oh yes, to go through the fire. And then it's explained in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Praise the Lord. So I believe Paul is stating here that trouble, persecutions, tribulations are to be expected. In fact, he calls it a token, a manifest token, a revealing token that we are in the Lord Jesus, that we are his children. And praise the Lord, the Lord's going to take care of it all. And oh my, so many people with wrong notions and feelings, and even those that oppose us and come against us, the Lord will take care of it. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And we know that certainly is going to come to pass one of these days. And then I want to just read some of the words of Jesus Christ here in John, the 16th chapter, and looking at verse 33 here. It tells us here in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. And Jesus, our example, and he stated too that, as his children, we wouldn't be above our Lord. If our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, went through tribulation, then how could we not expect tribulation on the same hand? So, we were warned in this scripture, and this is a beautiful passage here. John, the 16th chapter, verse 33. And of course, he had just presented that beautiful discourse to them before he went on to Gethsemane. He ended it by saying in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. And thank the Lord, our God knows how to give us the strength that we need so that we too can overcome this world. Amen. Praise the Lord, and that's wonderful news. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, he goes with us. He's with us in the middle of tribulation and trials and heartache and pain and suffering. Oh, yes, he's with us in all of that, and that's such a beautiful thing. But, oh, yes, at this point, I would like to go to the Psalms here, and I think we have a beautiful example here, and I'm going to be reading a couple passages in the Psalms at least. Let's just see how the Lord leads and guides, but let's go to Psalms 142 here. Praise the Lord. Psalms 142. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, as it begins here, it tells us that this is Michal of David, and that means that it's kind of like a song or a poem or something that he was contemplating. And it says a prayer when he was in the cave. And we'll be going into that example there from 1 Samuel, I do believe, in a few minutes. But let's look at this psalm, because here it's describing emotions and what he felt. You know, when we go to 1 Samuel, it expresses the details, the facts. But we don't, you know, understand all the anguish and all the pain and, you know, all the emotions behind the circumstances. But here I think it's expressed pretty well and with some details. So let's look at this psalm here, Psalms 142. So here David is saying, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And so his prayers and his requests, his pleas, his humble pleas before the Lord, he's making them before God. And, you know, it shows that this is not an easy matter. It says, I cried unto the Lord, and it says, with my voice. I believe that means it's audible. He wasn't just whispering it. He wasn't just thinking it in his heart. And then he states it again, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And then, oh yes, he was obviously in trouble. And you know, those circumstances when, you know, you just don't know what's going on. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't make sense. It's, you know, unjust. And oh my, you know, there's a lot of confusion. Oh my, you know, have you ever been there? But here it is, you know, David was going through it. And verse 2 tells us, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So here, yes, he's just letting it out, you know. And thank God, you know, he knows our thoughts. He knows our needs even before we ask. But praise the Lord, he's always there to hear our cries. And oh my, he's there to answer. And praise the Lord, he's there to make a difference. And thank the Lord, we're invited to come before that wonderful throne of grace. Oh yes, and oh yes, he has promised to show us mercy. But here it is, here he is. Oh, with this, you know, problem in front of him. And yes, so here he is, he's telling God all about it. He says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And so he's explaining it to the Lord as it, you know, it appeared to him. And so he goes on, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privately laid a snare for me. So here, you know, and he's talking about this, just seems like it was more than could be borne. You know, it was his trouble. And he just, you know, a great trial that had come upon him. And I, again, you know, the feeling that it didn't make sense and it wasn't proper. It wasn't something you would have expected by any means. And his spirit is, it's like it's overwhelmed. You know, it's just beyond him, I would say. But the Lord knew where he was. And the Lord knew his circumstances, as he expresses it by saying, "Then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, had they privily laid a snare for me." So, you know, here it was, you know, just deliberate on the behalf of his enemy at this point. And here it is, and you know, when there's a snare, when there's a trap, my, it's very easy to fall into it, isn't it? The hunters lay out traps to catch animals and you know, maybe put, you know, some twigs and earth matter over it to, you know, make it not very visible, and you know, often animals will fall into that. But oh yes, sometimes that happens to human beings, and David was facing those kind of circumstances as he is relating here in this psalm. And he says, "I looked to my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." And oh my, you know, so often that's just how it is. In this event, I believe David did have men with him, but it was a circumstance in which they could not help him. And you know, he was in a desperate way, and you know, he's crying out to the only one that really can help him. It was beyond what man could do. And you know, he realized that this place that he was in, you know, wasn't enough. You know, the refuge, it seemed, was failing him. And then, you know, that feeling that there was no one to care for these deep things down in his soul, his anguish, his despair, this trouble, you know, the pain of it all. So yes, he's crying out to the Lord. And thank the Lord, we find in him a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh yes, we find a God that is so concerned about all our troubles and all our needs. And there's never a moment that we can't go to him. He's always there waiting for us, praise the Lord, and welcoming us. And here David finds that refuge in God. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 expresses that. It says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." And then, oh yes, he requests here in verse 6, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Oh, praise the Lord. And in that last verse, that seventh verse, I find expressions of faith. Oh, yes, in the midst of trouble, he's realizing there is one who can help me. There is one that cares, oh, for me, despite this very low condition that I'm in. I feel like I'm, you know, my soul's in prison. I feel like I'm trapped. But praise the Lord, he cries unto the Lord with realization that God is our refuge, our strength, our very present help in trouble. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, our portion in the land of the living. So yes, he's requesting, "Bring my soul out of prison, this trap that is laid before me. Oh God, please get me out of here, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, I think it's just coming to him how God is so able to help him in the midst of this great conflict, oh, this great troublous situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go now to 1 Samuel 24. And this could quite possibly be the reference here in Psalms 142. And again, you know, we're going to just read the details here in this chapter in 1 Samuel. But I thank God for that psalm, because there we see what was going on in David's heart as he was facing this dire situation. Amen. So here it tells us, this is chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. And it tells us, and it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. And, we would have gone into the prior chapters here in 1 Samuel, we, you know, would easily realize, and I'm sure most of you already know this, that, you know, Saul was chasing David, and already some very troublesome things had happened, and it wasn't good, but David was hiding, because, Saul was threatening to kill him, and it showed evidence that he literally would. So here it is. David is in a cave, I believe, in this instance, and it's in the wilderness of Engedi, it tells us, from what I can see from the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. David has about 400 men with him. So this place where he is at that present moment here, as this is recorded from chapter 24, it has to be a really huge cave, I would say, because, he's in there and it's a refuge. It's a place, where he's not, observed very easily and obviously, he's got his men with him, and it's a bit of a reprieve to be in there. But here's Saul, and he's chasing him. And my, he doesn't just come by himself. Verse 2 tells us, then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, those would be shelters for sheep. By the way, it tells us, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. Now we can just imagine this here, we just discussed how David and his approximate 400 men were there already in the cave, and obviously in the sides of the cave, so it's not real conspicuous that they're in there, and I'm sure the Lord worked out that detail too. But while he's in there with his men and he's hiding, in comes his enemy, in comes Saul. And, in to cover his feet, a time of rest, obviously, for Saul. And he's got all his men with him. This has got to be a gigantic cave, I would say, in order to hold so many men. But here it is. And you can imagine, again, the things welding up in David's heart are not expressed here in 1 Samuel, but how frightening. Here you are, and it's hard anyway, because he's being chased, and he never knows when his enemy is going to come upon him. But here he is, and all at once, the very one who's chasing him enters into the cave with his men, and oh my, that's gotta be just unbelievable, you know, and you can imagine, you know, the cry that comes from David's heart as he understands these circumstances and sees it coming to pass as it unfolds. And you know, I'm sure even before Saul entered, he's crying out to the Lord. Very desperate situation. No one would appreciate being chased and you know, without need. You know, there was no reason for Saul to be so jealous of him and to come after him like he was an enemy, when that was certainly was not the case by any means. David had been very loyal and devoted and, you know, there to help Saul with whatever was needed, whatever circumstance arose. And so this was completely, you know, without any real good reason to be chased. But here it is, so here it is, and oh my, David and his men along the sides of the wall, and Saul enters in with his men, and oh my, oh, the men that are with David begin to nudge him. Tells us in verse 4, and the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And, you know, I'm sure they were very much urging him, and you know, I would think the thought certainly had to go across David's mind too. I mean, here it is, and just the ideal opportunity to rid himself of his enemy. You know, he didn't have any understanding, and perhaps he laid himself down, maybe he was even sleeping, I'm not sure, but anyway, you know, he was not aware of David's presence in that cave, and so, wow, it seemed like, you know, the moment when he could rid himself of his enemy, and that would have been the natural thing to do. And I would guess that David must have contemplated doing that very thing. It tells us, then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And anyway, you know, that's kind of, you know, something. I'm sure, you know, there was some deliberation here, but I can't help but think that David certainly had to consider the other option. But it tells us, you know, what he ended up doing. He just went over, you know, right there where Saul was, and I would guess he probably was sleeping, and his men with him sleeping, and he just, you know, cuts off the skirt of his robe. And, you know, nobody notices as far as Saul's people are concerned. So, you know, he certainly could have done the rest. But it tells us in verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. So it bothered him, even what he had done, that he'd even went so far as to cut off his skirt in this way. So, you know, he tells his men, who are just very eager to have their day of vengeance, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And, you know, that was a detail that David took very seriously. When somebody was anointed, it was, you know, the Lord that allowed that, and, you know, a very special spirit came with that. I know when Saul was originally anointed by Samuel, that, you know, the Spirit of God came upon him and he began to prophesy. And of course, David was also anointed by Samuel, and it had made a vast difference. But that anointing, oh yes, was such an important detail. And David realized Saul had been anointed as king of Israel, and I cannot take his life. I cannot do that. It was not within David to even consider that here because of the anointing that God had put on Saul's life, despite the present circumstances. So it tells us in verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. And it must have been really hard. It was such an ideal moment to go forth and you know, rid themselves of this enemy. But David would not allow it. And it tells us, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. So he wasn't discerning at all what had happened and in the circumstances. And so, you know, as he comes, he leaves. And then, you know, David is going to let him know. He's going to let Saul know what could have easily have happened. So it tells us in verse 8, David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. He even showed respect for Saul. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt? You know, the rumors that were going around or whatever Saul was listening to. I think most of all it was his own battle. Oh, that he had, you know, determined that David was his enemy. But certainly it was not so. And then David reveals what easily could have happened there while they were in the cave. Verse 10, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine heart or in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. Oh my, yes, everything seems so off here and just, you know, so crazy. You can imagine how hard it is to be hunted by somebody who should be your friend. In fact, you know, he was David's father-in-law in that sense, besides, and a very faithful man. So David continues here, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee, as saith the prophet, as saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. Oh yes, and David was proving a point. You know, there was no reason for Saul to be chasing him, to be treating him like this, and oh yes, to be thinking of him as an enemy. And so after he quoted that, he says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. So yes, as crazy as all of this was, this is a speech that David made before Saul. And it tells us, oh my, it had a great impact. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 16, and it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded the evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men gat themselves unto the hold, to that place of safety. But what a story, because, oh my, it could have gone so differently. But the Lord had put it into David's heart to, hold his peace and not take vengeance upon his enemy. Oh yes, and he prevented his men to not go forth and do what would have almost seemed natural to do in such a circumstance. And oh yes, we see that it did touch Saul. You know, I think it just occurred to him, what I'm doing is futile, it's crazy, it's nonsense, it's so unnecessary, and you know, what's got into me? And of course, Saul was driven by evil spirits. I believe that's very, very true. And so, you know, he would hope that this would have been the end. Sadly, it was not, of Saul's chasing David. But, oh my, you know, we have such an example here. But these happenings could not have been easy for David, to be chased, to be hunted, to be treated like a criminal, and you know, like an enemy, and everything else, and you know, just to have to leave his loved ones and all behind, and you know, just be out in the wilderness, just trying to preserve his life. Oh, you can imagine, nothing easy about that. Oh yes, we know that David had this relationship with his God, and oh yes, he poured out his heart to God, as we're told in Psalms 142, and oh yes, he acknowledged God's ability to sustain him, and oh yes, in the midst of all this trouble, that realization that God would be with him, that God would deal bountifully with him. You know, God so honors faith. It's a beautiful thing when we show faith. We may be in a heap of trouble. Circumstances may be going very awry. And you know, again, circumstances that don't make sense, that don't add up. We can't, you know, even logically, you know, understand it. But praise the Lord knows how to take these things, these disturbing things, these hindering things, and turn it all around. And he knows how to take care of us in the midst of trouble, in the midst of great trials. And oh, praise the Lord, we are so blessed to be able to put it into God's hands. You know, our attitude, our methods would be one way, but you know, when you turn it over to the Lord, he might show you something completely different. Amen. Because yes, his ways are not our ways. What comes to us instinctively may not be what God is thinking and doing You know, he knows the whole story, and you know, he knows how to bring it about. And to bring it about in such a way that he will be glorified and he'll be honored, and oh yes, that our life will be preserved. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, he knows how to turn around every circumstance and situation. He knows how to help us in our very troublesome times, in our dire needs. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to go now to another Psalms here that I feel is very befitting in this study here tonight. It's Psalms chapter 71. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here, I'm not certain of who the psalmist is. It rather sounds like a Psalm of David to me, but you know, it isn't identified for sure, so we don't know. But oh my, I could feel, oh yes, the great need. It's a cry for deliverance in this 71st Psalm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go here. Let's just see how the Lord might lead us here. Psalm 71, praise God. And here the psalmist is writing and saying, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And praise the Lord. You know, you know, the great need to put our trust in God, not in man, oh my, not in other theologies and you know, thinkings and you know, even sometimes practical things, but you know, what matters is our need to put our trust in God, amen. So, psalmist is crying. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. So again, we feel desperation. There's a dire need here a need to get out of a circumstance that's, you know, very difficult. And then it says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And thank the Lord, we can go to him at all times, continuously, praise the Lord. And it says, whereunto I may continually resort, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Oh yes, that place that we can dwell in, that place of security, that place of safety. Oh yes, it's in Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, that strong habitation, that strong dwelling place, praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, there's a cry again. Verse 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. And you know, the world isn't going to understand the people of God, our thinking, our perceptives, oh, you know, our doings, you know, they're not going to get it. And to many, we're going to be a wonder because, yeah, their thinking is so contrary to what the children of the Lord's thinking is. Praise God. So, here the psalmist is crying, and he says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, such wonderful things happen when we praise the Lord. Oh, we thank God and oh, worship him and esteem him. Praise the Lord. He says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute him, and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Oh my, thinking that, we don't have a savior, that we don't have someone to rescue us. Oh my, so the enemies were coming sorely against the psalmist, and oh yes, speaking evil, laying in wait, and taking counsel together, and just saying, look at him, he's pathetic, there's nobody with him, he's forsaken, God's not with him. Presuming that is, and let's just go forward, let's persecute him, let's take him, there's going to be no one to deliver him. But oh, praise the Lord, we serve the Lord, we've got a great deliverer, we serve the mighty God, and oh yes, oh, he has all kinds of means of saving his people, of delivering us, so praise the Lord. But oh yes, the psalmist is still crying out because yes, the deliverance hasn't come yet, and oh, he's in great jeopardy, he has a great need, and oh, he's saying, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are my adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But oh yes, he wasn't going to go that direction. The psalmist, oh, those that are the enemies of God, those that were adversaries to his soul, oh yes, oh Lord, take care of them. Oh God, how to keep them at bay. Oh my, how to bring them down. You know how to answer this cry. You know how to deliver me. And he says in verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. And oh yes, that is such a secret in winning the battles of this life. Oh yes, to keep that trust in the Lord, to keep that hope continually in God. Oh, to have that deep within us, that realization that God is with us. If God be for us, who could be against us? Praise the Lord. So it says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Oh yes, I'm just going to keep on as long as I have breath. Praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, with great determination, he says in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Amen. Oh, amen. And what a beautiful scripture, to realize, oh, as we go forth, we can go in God's strength with his help, knowing that he is with us. Oh, he knows how to keep our feet from falling. He knows how to hold us up. He knows how to chase away the enemies. He knows how to keep us safe. Oh, praise the Lord. It's such a beautiful verse, and I know Brother Tim really loves that verse too, because that's the very verse that God gave him when he was in great jeopardy there in that cult and up in the mountains and without any means to that he could see at all to get out of there.
Amen.
But praise the Lord made a way, and God miraculously got Brother Timothy out of there. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. And that's our God. He knows how to do it. It would never come to our minds probably, except that God would inspire. And I know with him, God told him, just exactly what to do. There was a man that lived across that he could jump the fence, and there would be, an individual that would help him. And praise the Lord, it happened just as God directed, and God telling him that he would be back in Minnesota, at a certain date, and all the details that were needed to get him through that dilemma. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. But this holds true for us as God's children when we put our faith, our trust in the Lord, and realize, it's his strength that leads us, that guides us, that directs us, you know. And physically, it can even be that at times when we feel like we don't have enough strength to do a certain thing, and you know, and God knows how to hold us up, how to help us, how to get us through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the wonder of it. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I just remember my sister-in-law, Jeanette, just telling me a conversation I had with her before she left this world, and she was just saying she was, you know, pretty feeble at that time, and I believe she had had some surgeries and all this is and that's, and you know, she was just saying, when I go from the kitchen to the bathroom or to the bedroom, she said, I just say, Jesus, go with me. Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, give me strength. And you know, praise the Lord, our God is faithful to do that. Amen. I know this of a fact myself. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So yes, we can go in the strength of the Lord God. And oh yes, we want to make mention of his righteousness. Even of thine only, we know our own righteousnesses are just as filthy rags. Oh yes, that would never save us, our own righteousnesses. But praise the Lord, we want to make mention of our God's righteousness. Oh yes, the one who covered us with his blood. Oh yes, it atoned for our sin. Oh yes, so that we could have a hope beyond this world. And oh, I love how this psalmist goes on to express his faith in God. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, in thy power to everyone that is to come. Oh yes, we want to finish our work. We want to share it, oh, with those that follow us, amen. We want it to be a reality in other people's lives too, and we want them to hear our story, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because yes, the Lord has been with us. Oh, he has delivered us. He has helped us again and again. And oh, yes, we have something to share with this world. And he says, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Amen. And truly we know this. We know there is no one to compare to our God. None so mighty and so great and so wonderful and yet so merciful and so kind and so loving. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, and we are so blessed to be his children. And then, oh, verse 20. And oh, this is where I got my title for this message. It tells us in verse 20, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. And this is so beautiful. There's an expression of great faith. You know, even, oh yes, oh, when our breath fails us here on this earth, oh yes, even when they put us in the ground, oh my, praise the Lord, we know that there is one that will resurrect us, oh, that will bring us up again, oh, from the depths of the earth, praise the Lord. And oh yes, oh, I see this as a tremendous statement of faith in the psalmist's heart. Oh yes, an expression, oh yes, that knowing, oh yes, it's going to come out. Oh yes, there is a day when my body will be resurrected, praise the Lord. And oh yes, all the travails, all the anguishes of my soul, oh, will no longer, oh, be an issue by any means. Oh, praise the Lord. He goes on to say, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And I believe that he's saying, you're going to take my little bit and what I can do and make something out of it. You know how the Lord takes our lives, you know, though we'd be so insignificant and be so limited in ourselves, but he can take our little bit and make something out of us, you know, for his plan and for his glory. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I believe the psalmist was expressing that. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Oh, praise the Lord. In the midst of trouble, we have one that's there to comfort us, to assure us, oh my, to give us faith and to give us hope. And oh, yes, I love these expressions of hope. Oh, yes. Oh, despite those great and sore troubles, oh, one of these days you're going to quicken me. You're going to quicken me. You're going to make me alive. You're going to bring me up from the depths of the earth. Praise the Lord. And oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's the greatness and goodness of the Lord. Oh, yes, to bring us to that realm of eternity. Praise the Lord, where death shall be abolished and never be again. Praise the Lord for the children of the Lord. And so he says, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. And oh, yes, here he's talking about praising the Lord and worshiping him, oh, with his instruments and oh, with his songs of praise. He goes on, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Oh, yes, these are expressions of faith. When we worship the Lord, you know how those troubles get left behind? Oh, we begin to see, oh, what's on the other side. We get a glimpse of the good things of God and, oh, his provisions and his care, his love. Oh, praise the Lord. So, yes, the psalmist, he's going to sing, he's going to worship, he's going to play his instruments, and oh, he's going to greatly rejoice as he sings unto the Lord. Oh, yes, and realizing, oh, God, you redeemed our souls. Oh, praise the Lord, you brought us up out of the miry clay. You set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And then he says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Oh, yes, they're going to find their day. Oh, God knows how to put them down. He knows how to answer those desperate needs. Oh, yes, he knows how to give us the advantage and how to help us out, how to hide us, how to keep us up through these troubles and trials. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I think these last three verses tell us how to gain victory over our troubles, over our trials. Well, such a truth here to praise the Lord, to worship him, oh, with our instruments, if that be the case, or with our voice, oh my, our lips, you know, greatly rejoicing as we sing unto the Lord, the praise and the worship, the rejoicing that comes with it. Oh, yes, as we realize what God has done for us, how he has redeemed us. Oh, yes, so we have a hope beyond this world. Oh, praise the Lord. And then going forward, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Oh, what God has done for us, that testimony that comes forth as we share, oh, the good works of the Lord. And oh, yes, we all have that testimony, the good things that God does for us moment by moment and day by day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the realization, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Oh, the Lord takes care of it. He knows how to bring down, you know, the adversary. He knows how to help us. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to put to flight those that would try to trample us, try to discover us, how you know, destroy us, whatever all. But yeah, we see the pattern here. Oh, that pattern that comes with praise and worship. Oh, turning it over to the Lord and rejoicing in his salvation, in his greatness, in his ways. And oh, yes, then sharing it, telling it. Oh, yes. Oh, letting others know how God has saved us, how he has helped us, how he brought us, oh, to his saving grace. Praise the Lord. Amen. And oh, yes, delivered us out of this world of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh, yes, that expression that, oh, yes, he had a hope in his heart. Even back then, oh, yes, that, oh, despite, oh, the moment when, you know, my breath leaves my body, that he is still, you know, that hope lingers on. And he expressed it so beautifully, all of that hope that he would be quickened, his body would be quickened, and oh yes, God would bring him up again from the depths of the earth. Praise the Lord. You know, Job expressed that too in such a beautiful way. The 19th chapter of Job. Oh, Job too was in great troubles. He was in great distress. Oh man, here he was, you know. He didn't understand what was going on exactly, but here he was. He's just covered and covered, oh yes, with these sores all over his body. Oh yes, and you know, these boils, you know, one boil I know is very difficult to cope with, but can you imagine being covered from head to foot with boils? And here it was, you know, the comforters had come and you know, they were not really comforting him. They were just causing him more anguish of soul. And you know, these were supposedly his good friends, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And you know, they were just, you know, just giving him all those lines and, you know, just condemning him and everything else. But here in this 19th chapter of Job, you know, here he is. He's in this dire state. Oh, he talks about how in verse 13, he hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. And oh, yes, he says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, oh, ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Because these friends of his have become persecutors. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. And praise the Lord, they are written. They are printed in a book. Amen. And he goes on, they that were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. I'm sorry, I don't think I read that quite right. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. And then this utterance of faith that is so profound in the midst of these great troubles that he has described here in this 19th chapter. Oh my, you know, how could it be worse than what he was going through? But here in the midst of despair, of great tribulation, of great troubles, he utters words of great hope. Oh yes, of great faith. He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, yes, what an expression of hope. Oh, in the midst of great trouble, oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, so it is for us, and even so much more, because, oh, yes, we live in this time of the new covenant. Oh, we live in this dispensation of grace when the Savior has come. And oh, yes, Job was looking forward to that moment. Oh, yes, the Redeemer would come. And oh, yes, he foresaw that one day, oh, yes, the Redeemer was going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. And oh, yes, oh, there was going to be a resurrection. Oh, even though, you know, his flesh was well destroyed. Oh, yes, yet there was going to be a resurrection, and oh, he was going to see it for himself. He was going to behold it with his eyes. Praise the Lord. He was going to see it and not another. Oh, even though his reins, oh, his inward parts had been consumed within him. Oh, praise the Lord. That's faith. That's hope. Oh, praise the Lord. In the midst of great trouble, hardship, oh, confusion, things that didn't add up, things that didn't make sense. But yet, oh, yes, what a beautiful expression of great faith and great hope. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. I don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. We do live in a very confusing world. And oh, yes, so many times crazy things happen. It just seems like all the time things that don't add up are upon us. And, you know, we don't really understand what's going on. But praise the Lord, if Job could have a great hope in the God, though, oh yes, that he had perhaps not met at that moment. Oh my, God does introduce himself to him, and you know, just doubt, as we read the book of Job in an amazing, wonderful way. But oh, praise the Lord, if he could have that expression of hope in the midst of great despair and trouble, then praise the Lord. I believe we can have hope too. Praise the Lord. I think we do. I know we do. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, if the psalmist, despite being persecuted and in great need of deliverance, could utter those words there in Psalm 71, oh, yes, that he was, you know, positive, that he was sure that one day, the God that he trusted in, the God that was his Savior, would quicken him up again from the depths of the earth. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, that, oh, yes, all would be well. Amen. Oh, yes, that the battles would be over, that they would be won. Oh, yes, as they were for David. Oh, eventually there, even though he had those times, those moments of fleeing, oh, running away from his adversary. I thank God we have a great hope. And oh, yes, we too know that the resurrection will come forth. One of these moments, that great trump will sound. Oh, that cry, that shout from heaven is our Lord, our Savior comes forth. Oh, yes, to bring forth judgment, to deliver his people. Oh, yes, to set everything straight. And oh, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, we know that that moment is going to come when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, yes, it's told us here, 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Despite the troubles, all the hardships, all the persecution, and you know, those tokens of, you know, our relationship with God even. Oh my, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes, despite the great and sore troubles, oh, we have victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, the one who paid such a price for our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord who died for us. Oh, yes, who gave his life a ransom for us that we might be his sons and his daughters. Oh, praise the Lord, he is able to take us through. Oh, yes, there'll be nothing too hard for him. And oh, yes, we can thank him because we know, yes, one of these days we will be at home, yes. And oh yes, the trials, the temptations, the struggles, the pain, the suffering, oh yes, the agonies will all be past us. And oh yes, we will be on the other side. And praise the Lord, it's because of him, it's because of our God that we give thanks to, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, the verse that ends this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is so noteworthy. It tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is able to rescue us, to save us, to deliver us. Amen.
Amen.
The great and wonderful God that we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. And we have a hope that is so beyond this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the resurrection that will come forth. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. One of these moments, one of these days, praise the Lord, we'll be on the other side. Thank our God in all these great and sore troubles will be things of the past. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the hope that is deep within us. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you for that hope that is so deep. Oh, Lord, that which you have given us. Oh, God, I pray that it will strengthen us, that it will lead us, that it will guide us, that it will take us through the troubles, the tribulations of this world. Oh, God, no matter what happens, give us that kind of faith, Lord. Oh, God, that kind of encouragement, and help us to stand on it, Lord. Oh, God, help us to realize it, and oh, God, help us to believe it. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals to number 175 and sing He is Able to Deliver Thee. 175.
Though my sin.
Thank you. Thank you.